Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Let's all stand as we open up God's Word. Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14, and let's read together verses 30 through 34, and then we can be seated. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you this day. We thank and praise you, God. And Lord, I thank you for the many guests that are here. We thank you for Pastor Cephas that's here with his family. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in his life and in the ministry that you have given him, oh God. I pray, Lord, that you would also give him a now word for this afternoon, oh God. But Lord, we're asking now, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Righteousness Exalts a Nation. And we know how the rest of it goes. So let's read together Proverbs 14, 30 through 34, and then we can be seated. And it reads, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. The wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has a refuge in his death. Wisdom rests in the hearts of him who has understanding, but what is the heart of fools is made known. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. May the Lord have a blessing to the hear and read of his word. You may be seated. Saints, I truly believe God is trying to wake up his church in the last days and times that we live in. How many can say amen to this? Amen. We're seeing the calamities. We're seeing the destruction across this nation. But the church has been silent. Some churches, God has already put Ichabod on their doorsteps. But I'm here to let us know, hallelujah, that we will stand with God. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. For righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so I want us to look right up here. You remember this. I showed this to you. What happened on August 21st, 2017, on a Monday. We saw the solar eclipse across the land. And many rabbinical teachers, many messianic rabbis, many profound prophetic teachers have all come to a conclusion that when this took place, God was warning this nation of judgment. And since that day, we're going to take a look of what has occurred, what has developed, what we're seeing, and what the church needs to cry out aloud. Can I get an amen? Let's look at this. I found this clip regarding this gentleman, Pastor Mark Biltz. He's a Messianic Jew. He's the one that discovered the blood moons. But he also indicating that there was a possible warning of this solar eclipse that would cross the nation. And so you always have to look back to look ahead. And so when he first proclaimed this, we were saying, okay, let's see what develops. And so we see clearly now what has truly developed since he pronounced this proclamation across the nation. He goes on to say, let's go back. Let's go back one more. Oh, that's okay, brother. Let's clip back again. Go back to his phone. There you go. Pastor Mark Biltz, the man who discovered the blood moons phenomenon in a Christian who urges a careful attention to heavenly signs, suggests it may be something that needs more attention, such as a direct warning to the United States. Let's go. From a biblical point of view, a solar eclipse is meant as a sign from God. Biltz told WND. In Genesis 1:14, God declared this to be so. It is a sign that is beyond man's control, something he can't manipulate. Solar eclipses become biblically and prophetically significant and relevant when a man understands their timing according to the biblical calendar where they happen. Then we look for the patterns. There's patterns with God. Hallelujah. And we're going to see in Scripture clearly this morning how God, hallelujah, shows patterns through His Word, and that everything that God has proclaimed in His Word happened in the past and will happen again in the future. Let's go on to the next page. It says, Bilt suggests such cataclysms may be in store for the United States, especially given the timing of this event. Now, this August 21st, 2017, we have a total solar eclipse going over the United States. He noted this again at the beginning of the month of repentance on the first of Elul. This is on the Jewish calendar, on the first of Elul. Now, there is so much significance when God shows these signs on His biblical calendar. See, you and I, we are on the Gregorian calendar. This was summed up by Rome back in the days of the popes when they first began. So we're on a Roman calendar. It's called the Gregorian calendar. But God does appoint at times on His calendar. Can I get an amen? And so we look at this. It says, this again at the beginning of the month, repentance of the first of Elul. The Jews across the nation went on repentance on this day. This is when they repent before God. And so God was showing something to this country that was formed, hallelujah, by our forefathers through the Word of God. That God says, I need you to turn your hearts back to me. And so it says, could God be giving us a warning that we need to repent or judgment will be coming to the United States? The timing couldn't be any clearer. Can I get an amen? We all see what's taking place. So, saints, look at this right up here. Let's go back one more time. Okay, hold on a second. Just in the past 2 months, the solar eclipse that took place on Monday, August 21st, 2017, there have been six cataclysms of remedial judgments that cannot be ignored or written off as consequences, climate changes, or natural disasters. These are judgments of God, and we're going to see in the Word of God so that we can say yes and amen to God. Not to the pastor, not to the preacher, not to the evangelist, not to the prophet, but to God that's written in His Word. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Let's look at the first cataclysm. It was Hurricane Harvey. How many remember that? Huh? It was just what? 2 months ago. But you got to remember the solar eclipse that went from Washington all the way down to South Carolina. God was saying, I'm sending you a message, America. It's time to get right or get left. Can I get an amen? We're going to see in the Word of God that God is challenging the church to cry aloud, hallelujah, to be a voice crying in the wilderness. We need to have the John the Baptist type of ministry. Can I get an amen? Telling men and women to repent, hallelujah, before a holy God. Hallelujah. Let's look at this right here. We saw this giant hurricane coming. We saw it coming. And when it came right there in this one city in Houston. And how many can remember what that city's name was? Yes, but there was what county was it? Harris County. And why did the most rain, trillions and trillions of gallons, fell? Because we found out that right there where Planned Parenthood was, they were selling the body parts of the aborted babies. Let's look at this. Right there, in 4 days, we've seen a trillion gallons of water in Harris County, enough water to run Niagara Falls for 15 days, said Jeff Linder, a meteorologist with the Harris County Flood Control District, who estimated that up to 100,000 homes in the 1,771 square mile area have been flooded. It's beyond anything we've ever seen and will probably ever see. And that was August 30th, 2017, LA Times. Look at the devastation this took place. Look, this is what's left in many of those counties. Let's move on to the next one. Houses, million-dollar homes underwater. Let's go again. Look at these people running for their lives. These are our brothers and sisters. Some of them, their churches were flooded. Oh my gosh. Let's go on. Number two, Hurricane Irma came just weeks later. Weeks later, another cataclysm that took place. Let's look at this. Here it is, coming up the Florida coast. Man, when we were watching this, we go, God, what are you doing? What are you saying? What's happening here? And some people were writing it off. Oh, this is just climate change. We're going to see in God's word, hallelujah, what God has to say about all these things that are taking place in our nation as we speak. Let's move on. Look at this. CNN, September 9, 2017, the National Hurricane Center warned that preparations had been complete in Southwest Florida in a matter of hours on Saturday evening. Irma was proven catastrophic, killing 24 people this week in the Caribbean and leaving entire islands in ruins. The storm is massive as winds at least tropical storm force cover 70,000 square miles, larger than Florida's entire land area. No one's ever seen a storm like this. Nobody has. Look at this. Worsening conditions spawned tornado warnings in the Keys and northwestern Broward County and knocked power over 168,000 residents in South Florida. And look at the devastation it left. This is Florida Keys. Come on, this is where some of us like to go vacation sometimes. Maybe go check out Disney World, all these things. This happened over there. Just in a matter of weeks after the solar eclipse. Let's go again. Look at that. Total devastation. It's almost like a nuclear bomb was dropped. And nothing survived. Let's go again. Number three. Right after Irma came Maria. And then that destroyed the whole entire little island of Puerto Rico. It's like, Lord, have mercy. Mercy, God. Lord, we need your mercy, Lord. Did the church call fasting and praying when these things were taking place? Who's calling prayer meetings to fall on their face and God have mercy? Those are my brothers and sisters over there being devastated. Let's look what this thing did. It was going all the way. Look at the path it took. It just wiped out the entire island of Puerto Rico. My goodness. And look at the devastation. Well, let's read this. Puerto Rico has been devastated by Hurricane Maria, a powerful Category 4 storm that also impacted several islands in the Caribbean. It was the strongest storm to make landfall in Puerto Rico in 85 years. It came ashore on September 20th with sustained winds of 155 miles per hour, knocking out power to the entire island. Trees were uprooted, homes were destroyed, and there was also widespread flooding. This is total devastation, said Carlos Macarde, a spokesman for Puerto Rico's governor. Puerto Rico, in terms of the infrastructure, will not be the same. This is something of historic proportions. Historic proportions. Look what it left. It left these people wandering around. Where's my home? Where's water? Where's food? Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord. Look at this next photo. Look at it. This is someone's neighborhood. Just imagine if you were to wake up one day and saw your whole neighborhood devastated like this. My goodness. Next photo. Look at this. Houses just collapsed. This is all wind damage. This is not an earthquake. This is wind damage and water coming at hundreds of miles an hour. Let's look again. The Mandalay Massacre. This is now a week after the last hurricane. And now we're seeing evil-minded people, the most devastating massacre in the history of the United States. Somebody needs to wake up and smell the coffee. Can I get an amen? Something is taking place. Hallelujah. And the church is silent. The church should be the vocal point. The church should be on the hill crying out, this nation needs to repent. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this. The man who unleashed the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history left 58 people dead and at least 515 wounded, according to the officials who deny claims of responsibility by ISIS. About 22,000 people gathered outside the Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas were enjoying a concert before the heavily armed madman, Stephen Paddock, 64, of Mesquite, Nevada. He opened fire. He just decided, I'm just going to kill these folks. Well, we're going to see in the Word of God why all these things are taking place right now as we speak. And I truly believe that there's more cataclysmic events that are coming. Why? Because we're going to see what's taking place right now in this nation, and this nation needs to turn back to God. Can I get an amen? Look at this. People, as this guy was firing, people were being, 500 people wounded. Look at how many people got shot and killed for no reason. Let's move on. Look at these folks hiding in terror. People just left their belongings and scattered like ants. My goodness. This one next photo, look at this guy. These cops, man, are armed up and scouting it out. This one guy's on his phone texting. In the midst. You know, when Jesus comes for the second time, people are going to be on their phones. How many likes did I get today? How many dislikes did I get? Did I get any smileys? And here's Jesus coming with the shout of the shofar. He's coming back again. How many of you believe he's coming back again? Hallelujah. Yes, he is. Let's move on to the next. Then we have the Northern California catastrophic fires in Sonoma Valley. These are just days ago. Look at all these events, one by one by one by one, since the solar eclipse. And so when Mark Biltz first came out with the solar eclipse, we had to wait and see. Is he truly prophesying about these things? So we always have to look back to look ahead. And so we've looked back when he pronounced the solar eclipse coming. You remember we had an evening here and we showed his teaching. You remember that? That was way back in what? I believe it was in July. And now they're coming to pass. Right before our eyes. And a lot of us are still asleep. The church is asleep. The church needs to wake up now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at this. New evacuations were ordered Tuesday evening as more than a dozen wildfires raged across Northern California, with the largest ones killing at least 70 people as they scorched the state's famous wine country. The largest of the deadly fires were burning in Sonoma, Napa, and Mendocino counties, with flames ripping through the lush, picturesque landscape. Officials in the city of Santa Rosa and Sonoma County called for the evacuations of five more areas Tuesday evening. Already 20,000 people have been ordered to leave the area in other parts of Northern California. And look at this. This was somebody's home. Come on, some of us love when we get off work, want to go home and have dinner, want to spend time with your family. These people don't have a home no more. We're seeing devastation across this nation. Let's look on to the next one. Look at that. It's like a nuclear bomb hit it. And it keeps coming. It keeps coming. It keeps coming. Let's go again. Look at this. This lady, she's bewildered. How many of you would probably be bewildered as well if your house is gone? Some of you have lovely homes. I've been to your home. Some of you have been to my home. And one day it could be gone. Just like that. Let's move again. That's a whole aerial clip of a neighborhood. Gone. Gone. Jesus, help us, God. Help us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let's move on. I have a question. Is God judging America? Is he judging America? I need to ask you this question as well. I don't have it up here. It just came to me right now. Is God sending the judgment, or is Satan sending the judgment? Because a lot of times we want to blame the devil. But the Word of God will declare something right now and give you revelation right now as we get into the Word. So the transgressions of our nation, I'm only going to mention three. That's all that needs to be needed to identify what God is doing now in this nation. Number one, 65 million babies have been aborted since Roe v. Wade. Since 1973, 65 million. I've shared this before. If you were to squeeze every ounce of blood of these tiny little aborted babies, it would fill a lake. And the blood is crying out from the ground. It's crying out, oh God. But where's the church? Where's the church? We're supposed to be on a hill. Hallelujah, with our light shining bright. That men and women will see and glorify God. But the church has been muzzled. Been muzzled by the political world and been muzzled by the devil. Oh, yes. And look at this next one. Obama passed the Supreme Court's ruling on allowing all 50 states to conduct homosexual marriages, which is an abomination to our God in the Holy Scriptures and the creator of all things. Come on, this is not leave it to beaver days no more. This is not Father knows best days no more. We are living in a time of wickedness. And Jesus said, before I come back, it'll be like the days of Noah and Lot. What does that mean? That means it was wicked and violent at the same time. Number three, I'm just going to show you three reasons why these things are happening. Look at this. Transgenders are now teaching little children to be homosexuals. And you think I'm lying up here? I could only put on a 20-second clip. But let's move on to this clip. Look at this. Oh. Release number one. Let's go back. Let's go back. Let's go back, brother. Let's go back. Let's go back. All right. Go ahead and hit it again. Thank you.
And a wig. But instead of performing in a nightclub,
hi, hello.
The venue is the Brooklyn Public Library in Park Slope at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Who wants to be a drag queen when they grow up?
Little Miss Hot Mess.
Who is ready for a story?
Is the host of Drag Queen Story Hour.
This one is called Worm Loves Worm.
Talking, singing, and reading.
We can both be grooms.
To an audience of preschoolers, toddlers, and their caregivers.
That's all I wanted to show. Right now, across the nation, in public schools, you didn't catch the last little phrase. It's okay to be a groom and a groom. Did you catch that? Where's the church at? Where's the rebuke? This is why calamity has come now to this nation. It has come to this nation. And this was taken 3 days ago in the library in Los Angeles in the Obama Michelle Library in Los Angeles. This right here. Look at this. A satanic drag queen teaching our children. Look at this. Tuesday, October 17, 2017. Satanic transgender drag queen teaching children that homosexual lifestyles and transgender lifestyles are normal and accepted at the Michelle Obama Public Library in Los Angeles. If you're a true born-again believer filled with the Holy Ghost, a righteous indignation should be rising up in your spirit. You need to call these things out for what they are. My former pastor, I know he would be preaching this from the top of the mountain, would be Bishop Raymond Trout. He would be preaching this, and he would be preaching it hard. Now, we're going to get in the Word. Look at this. I need you to pay attention to this verses of Scripture in Ecclesiastics. It says, that which has been is what will be. Did you catch that? That which was been will be. So in other words, these things that we're seeing has already taken place in history, and they're repeating themselves once again. That which is done will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. It is there anything of which it may be said. See, this is new. It has already been in ancient times before us. These things already have been so. Hallelujah. Look at this, saints, right up here. America needs to learn her lessons on how God had to judge his own nation and chosen people of Israel. God sent prophets after prophets to warn Israel from turning away from God, but they wouldn't listen. And so now we have modern day prophets, Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, Perry Stone, are proclaiming judgments. Why? Because of the sin and wickedness that's across our land. And he's crying aloud, repent, 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 and turn back to God. Now, how many believe that the word of God is true? How many believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Hallelujah. How many believe that the word of God is immovable, unchangeable? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the rock on which we stand upon. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Well, look at what 2 Timothy 3:16 says. All scripture. Say that with me. All scripture. One more time. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? Righteousness. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, we read Ecclesiastes. What was then will take place again. So I asked this question earlier. Who is sending the calamity? Who is sending the evil? Who is behind the whole matter? Well, we have to look back then to see who's sending it now. Hallelujah. Why? Because things are cyclical. They repeat. History repeats itself according to the word of God. And so let's go to Jeremiah 18. This is going to be revelation to some of you. For some of you, you haven't turned to Jeremiah. Your pages are probably stuck together. Jeremiah 18, verse 1. Look at this. Here's another message. I'm reading out of the Living Bible Version only to have a little clarity for those of you who kind of get confused with King James, the thee and the thouth and the knoweth. I love King James, but this is a little clear for our understanding. Can I get amen? Look at this. Here is another message to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the shop where clay pots and jars are made, and I will talk to you there. Why did he want to talk to Jeremiah? Because there was sin in the camp in Israel. And they had turned their hearts away from God. Look at this. I did as he told me and found the potter working at his will. But the jar that was forming didn't turn out as he wished. So he kneaded it into a lump and started it again. Then the Lord said, O Israel, can't I do to you as this potter has done to this clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. And whenever I announce that a certain nation or kingdom is to be taken up and destroyed, then if that nation renounces its evil, did you catch that? If that nation shall renounce its evil, I will not destroy it as I had planned. God plans destruction for nations. We're reading this right now. Look at verse 5. Then the Lord said, Oh Israel, can I do as you to the potter? Verse 9. Let's go down to verse 9. And if I announce that I will make a certain nation strong and great, but then that nation changes its mind, turns to evil, and refuses to obey me, then I too will change my mind and not bless that nation as I had said I would. What? This is a whole entire nation that said, I want to kick God out of the secular arena. I want to kick the Ten Commandments out of the courts. I want to allow the abominations to be law now. This is what was taking place in Israel. Look at verse 11. There, go and warn all of Judah and Jerusalem, saying, hear the word of the Lord. This is not Satan now. What is God telling the prophet? He says, I am planning evil against you now instead of good. Did you guys catch that? Turn back from your evil paths and do what is right. But they replied in verse 12, don't waste your breath. This is the people now. This is the people in this nation that the prophets are warning. And nothing has changed. They're still refuting the truth. They're still asleep at the wheel. They're still folks, even in church, that are caught up in sinful activities and won't repent. Look at this. But they replied, don't waste your breath. We have no intention of whatever doing what God says. I don't care what God says. I'm going to do what I want to do. We will continue to live as we want to, free from any restraint, full of stubbornness and wickedness. They wanted to remain in their wickedness. Are you catching some revelation here? Look at verse 13. Then the Lord said, even among the heathen, no one has ever heard of such a thing. Come on, the nations right now are looking at these drag queens teaching the nation. There's nations looking at this that have decency and order in their countries, but they're looking at us. Look at this. And the Lord said, even among the heathen, no one has ever heard such a thing. My people have done something too horrible to understand. The snow never melts high up in the Lebanon mountains. The cold flowing streams from the crags of Mount Hermon never run dry. But look what verse 15 says. These can be counted on, but not my people, for they have deserted me and turned to foolish idols. They have turned away from the ancient highways of good and walked the muddy paths of sin. Listen, when God calls out sin, this is time. Us, as believers, we need to take heed. We need to fall on our face and say, oh God, it starts with us. Why? Because judgment starts in the house of God. Where's the church in all this? My goodness. Look at verse 16. Therefore, this is what God said he would do to a nation who turns from God. Therefore, their land shall become desolate, so that all who pass by will gasp and shake their heads in amazement at its utter desolation. Look at this. I will scatter my people before their enemies as the east wind scatters dust, and in all their trouble, I will turn my back on them and refuse to notice their distress. Then the people said, come, let's get rid of this prophet Jeremiah. Those who are listening to this message are probably saying, away with this preacher. Put a sock in his mouth. Shut him up. But I'm here to let us know, hallelujah, that God will have the last laugh. Can I get an amen? Amen. Jesus, help us. Oh, Jesus, help us. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us, God. Look at this. Then the people said, come, let's get rid of Jeremiah. We have our own priests and wise men and prophets. Some of the churches say, we have our own ministries. We have, hallelujah, those who just want to just take advantage and fleece the flock and bring these prosperity gospels. And all they want to do is continue to build and build and build, and yet they're sin in the camp. Jesus, help us. My goodness. It says, come, let's get rid of Jeremiah. We have our own priests, wise men, and prophets. We don't need his advice. Let's silence him that he may speak no more against us nor bother us. This is what they want. They want to get rid of the church in this nation. We're the only voice left. Hallelujah. To repent, to repent, to repent. Judgment's coming. Look at verse 19. Oh, Lord, help me. See what they are planning to do. Jeremiah's now going back to the Lord. Look what they're doing. They want to cast me into a well and they want to kill me. Should they repay evil for good? They have set a trap to kill me. Yet I spoke well of them to you and tried to defend them from your anger. In other words, Jeremiah was interceding. Where's the church interceding? Where's the church saying, oh, God, have mercy on this nation? Hallelujah. Help us turn away from our sin and come back to you in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Look at this. Should they repay evil for good? They have set up a trap to kill me. Yet I spoke well of them to you and to defend them from your anger. Now the Lord, now this is Jeremiah now. He's like, I'm done with these folks. Look, it says, now let their children starve to death and let the sword pour out of their blood. Let their wives be widows and be bereft of all children. Let their men die in epidemics and their youths die in battle. This Jeremiah said, I've seen enough. They won't listen. They deserve this now. Look at verse 22. Let screaming be heard from their homes as troops of soldiers suddenly upon them. One day, if we don't wake up, we're going to have invading armies coming to this land. We're going to see China and Russia. We're going to see the Middle East. They're going to just pounce on us in one day. Jesus, help us. Let screaming be heard from their homes as troops of soldiers come suddenly upon them, for they have dug a pit for me to fall in, and they have hidden traps along the paths. They were out to get Jeremiah. Did you know this society is out to get us? They want to muzzle us. They want to kick us out. They want to squash us. Why? Because we're the only light left in this nation. Lord, you know all their murderous plots against me. He was saying, don't forgive them. Don't blot out their sin, but let them perish before you. Deal with them in your anger. Man, Jeremiah was done. But see, thank God that Jeremiah was just a man like you and I. We serve a God that's merciful, that's gracious, slow to anger. But there comes a line that you and I cannot see where then God has to cross that line. And he's got to bring it then. He's got to be a righteous God who he says he is. Can I get an amen? There is no darkness in God. And so look how God responds to Jeremiah's outcry. He cried. Prophets across this nation are crying out no differently. This nation needs to turn back to God. We just saw who's the one that sends evil. Look at the response in Jeremiah 19, the next chapter. The Lord said, just go buy clay, a jar, and take it out into the valley of Ben Hinnom, by the east gate of the city. Take some of the elders of the people and some of your older priests with you and speak to them whatever words I give you. Then the Lord spoke to them and said, listen to the word of the Lord, kings of Judah. These are the religious folks now. These are the people sitting in high places. This is the Sanhedrin council. These are the Levite priests. This is like the White House. He's at the temple. Hallelujah. Bringing this word of the Lord. And look at this. Listen to the word of the Lord, kings of Judah and citizens of Jerusalem. The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, I will bring terrible evil upon this place. What? See, we think, oh man, look what the devil's doing. No. God is saying, I'm going to bring this evil because of your wickedness. See, God brings joy and peace and gladness, but there's another side to God where he has to bring judgment. The Lord Almighty God of Israel says, I will bring terrible evil upon this place, so terrible that the ears of those who hear it will prickle. Look at the verse 4. For Israel has forsaken me and turned this valley into a place of shame and wickedness. The people burn incense to idols that neither this generation nor forefathers nor the kings of Judah have worshipped before. And the number one idol across this nation, if you look across the churches, they'd rather stay home and watch a football game before they come back to the house of God. That's their idol. That's the God of this nation. My goodness. Look at this. The people burn incense to idols that neither this generation nor their forefathers nor their kings of Judah have worshipped before. And they have filled this place with the blood of innocent people. This is what breaks the final straw. We've murdered 65 million babies through abortion. And God had to bring this. Why? Because they were sacrificing the babies to Baal. And he said, enough is enough. Look at this. Verse 5. They have built high altars to Baal, and they have burned their sons and sacrificed. Look at this. A thing I never commanded them, nor even thought of. The Lord would never think of this. He says, the day is coming, says the Lord, when this valley shall no longer be called Tobeth or Ben Hinnom Valley, but the Valley of Slaughter. The Valley of Slaughter. Look at verse 7. For I'll upset the battle plans of Judah and Jerusalem. I will let invading armies kill you. Look at this. And here, and leave your dead bodies for vultures and wild animals to feed upon. How many don't want this to happen to our nation? Come on. God has planted us here. So God is saying, cry out aloud. Hallelujah. There's people that God is still calling and drawing, and we need to be a people ready to receive them. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this. I will wipe Jerusalem off the face of the earth so that everyone going by will gasp with astonishment all that I have done to her. God is the God of this nation. Can I get an amen? And if he chooses to chastise this nation, so be it, Lord. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is about getting your house in order. Hallelujah. If no one else wants to get their house in order, it boils down to me. I and my house shall serve the Lord. Can I get an amen? You got to know who your God is. Because we're going to see in a moment what's about to come. It's been prophesied already. Well, let's finish up this story. Because we need to understand that it's God that sends destruction and evil when a nation turns its heart away from God. Look at this. I will see to it that your enemies lay siege to the city until all food is gone. What? Those trapped inside began to eat. They began to eat their own children. They became cannibals. There was no more food. Jesus. Don't let that day happen here, God. Oh, God. If I see more than five people tonight coming out for prayer, I know that this message spoke to somebody. Or we're going to go back home and just watch the DVR football games. Look at this. And now Jeremiah, as these men watch, smash the jar you brought with you. So he smashed it in front of them. And say to them, this is the message to you from the Lord Almighty. As this jar lies shattered, so I will shatter the people of Jerusalem. And as this jar cannot be mended, neither can the slaughter shall be so great that there won't be room enough for decent burial anywhere. And their bodies shall be heaped in this valley. My goodness. And we can look back and saw that this did take place when the Babylonians came and took them away. And verse 12, and as it will be in this valley, so it will be in Jerusalem. For I will fill Jerusalem with dead bodies too, and I will defy all the homes in Jerusalem, including the palace of the kings of Judah. He's talking about the high places. Oh God, that's like Washington, D.C., my goodness, judgment came there too, into the temple. They thought that the temple was untouchable. Wherever incense was burned upon the roofs of your star gods and libations poured out upon them. Look at verse 14. As Jeremiah turned from Topheth, where he had delivered this message, he stopped in front of the temple of the Lord and said to all the people, "The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, I will bring upon this city and your surrounding towns all the evil I have promised because you have stubbornly refused to listen to the Lord." Jesus, help us. Oh God, I know this is not a popular message. This ain't the 7 steps of a good marriage. This ain't the 10 steps of prosperity. This ain't name it and claim it. This is coming from the throne room of grace. That this nation needs to turn back to God. What more do we need to see? What more do we need to see? We just saw 5 calamities after the eclipse. No one's preaching that, though. Pastors are afraid to preach this. Why? Oh, I'm going to lose someone. Let them go. Let the word deal with them. And maybe one day they'll turn back and repent and come back to a holy God. For without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. So, there's a fix. How many believe there's always a fix? Come on. How many believe there's always a fix with God? How many always believe that there's mercy with God? Hallelujah. Yeah, we see the calamity. We see all these things coming. We see what God is about to do. But we also know that He's a God of mercy, grace. Hallelujah. And so we have to always look back to look ahead to see the promises of God. To see that if a nation turns back to God, He will then allow it to become blessed again. Yes. And so, look at this story right here. The only solution to prevent the hand of God from destroying this nation is from the president on down to the last child to repent across the nation, across this nation. And we see this in Scripture. Let's go to the next clip. Look at Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that the great city, and preach to it this message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. Next clip. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed what? God. Say that with me. Believe God. One more time. Believe God. This is what this nation needs to do, is to once again believe God. Look at this. Believe God. Proclaim a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Anybody catch that? Let's look at the next verse. Then the word came to the king. This is why we need to pray. Okay, the man that's sitting on the throne right now across the nation is Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump, you need to hear this. You need to call this nation to repent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It needs to come from that seat. It needs to come from the highest land. Hallelujah. To proclaim a fast. To proclaim a spirit of repentance across this nation. Look at this. Then the word came to the king, Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. He lay aside his robe. He covered himself with sackcloth. Hallelujah. Now, let me just pause right here. Listen, Jonah was spit out of a whale or a fish. You ever put fish on your hands? Man, it takes bleach to take that stench off. So just imagine this man coming to a city smelling like that. And how in the world did the king finally repent? So if you don't do your history, if you don't read your Bible, you don't understand things that took place prior to Jonah coming, you won't get this. But they had experienced 2 civil wars. They had experienced plagues. And the same solar eclipse that came across our nation came across theirs. My goodness. So the king had enough sense to say, "Oh God, you're sending us a warning." You're sending us a warning. And so look at this. He covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. He even had the animals fast and covered with ashes. Look at this. And let everyone turn from his evil way, from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Look at this. Then God saw their works. See, God is waiting. Listen, all God is asking this nation to turn back to him, to repent, to abolish the abortion clinics, to overturn 50 states that has allowed abomination marriages to take place. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And look at this. Here's the key. God relented. What? Because he's merciful. He doesn't want to bring disaster. He don't want to bring evil. But he has no other choice when a nation turns from him. And God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. Let's hold right there, brother. Let's hold. Jesus, help us. Help us, God. Help us, Lord God Almighty. How many of you, before we go to this next clip, know who the prophet Sandhu from India? He looks a little quirky. But again, he don't live here, so he dresses the way they dress over there. I searched him out. Many have searched him out. And everything that he has brought and said has come to pass. I want us to see this little four-minute clip. In 2015, he was in a church in Lancaster, California, and the word of the Lord came to him and prophesied to him to prophesy the thing that would take place. One of the two he already prophesied has come to pass. And this is why we need to be about our Father's business. Let's move to the clip.
And after the meetings in Costa Mesa, Pastor Josephine and I, we were at Los Angeles Airport waiting to board a flight to Houston. So while we were waiting, and they made an announcement, okay, now boarding has started. So we were in the queue waiting to board. At that moment, I heard a voice, Son of man, this city is going to be destroyed. So I turned around, and there was this mighty angel with a big weapon of destruction in his hand. And I saw this angel standing beside me, and at the same time, I also saw him standing outside the airport. It's the same angel. But when he stood outside, he appeared so huge that his head touched the clouds. Just like you read in Revelation chapter 10. And he had this huge weapon of destruction that looked like a sledgehammer. You know the one that Thor has? Like that. And he said, this city will be destroyed by a great earthquake. And when he spoke that, I saw many angels under his leadership, and they all stood at exactly where the earthquake fault line is going to be in Los Angeles. They all stood in one line with their hammers lifted up in their hands, waiting for an order from this captain. So once he gives an order, they'll all They'll strike on the ground. So again, I appeal to this angel. So why? Why? Again, he repeated, don't you know that these people are worse than Sodom and Gomorrah? I was so shaken, you know. And all during the 3-hour flight to Houston, this thing really troubled me very much. What made it worse was, why 3 days in a row I received something very similar, repeated 3 times. That further intrigued me and troubled me. Never have I had anything like this in the past. Something repeated 3 times in 3 succession in a row in a short time. So I didn't know why. And I just, all throughout the journey, I was just pondering about this. And when we landed at Houston Airport, we came out of the plane and we walked on the bridge. As soon as I stepped foot on Houston Airport, I heard the voice. I think this angel followed me, you know. He said, this city will be destroyed by a massive flood. I thought, oh no.
This was in 2015. We saw the flood already take place. There have been 4 prophets who prophesy some cataclysmic earthquakes that are about to take place. We are seeing the signs right before us. And God is crying aloud for this nation to repent and turn back to God. And guess where it starts first? With us. That we would get right before a holy God. That we would cry aloud. Listen, I love my home. I love my family. I love this nation. But we read it was taken away from Israel because of their wickedness. God had to bring judgment. God had to bring evil to the nation. And so we think, oh, it's the enemy. No. We just read what happened then can happen again. And so I leave us with this verse of scripture. Hallelujah. It's my favorite scripture. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. This is what God is calling the church to cry aloud, is that we would repent. Can I get an amen? That we would turn. Hallelujah. It's not about us. It's not about prosperity. It's about getting right before a holy God. Hallelujah. And living it. God wants to live it. He wants us to live a life of holiness. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And it starts with us. It starts with the church. Listen, many people that you invite, many people you come, you cry out, say, come to church, hear the word of the Lord. A lot of them won't come. You know that. Oh, yeah, I'll see you Sunday. So the only Jesus they're ever going to see is you. You got to live it. You got to walk it. You got to talk it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is what they need to see. And if they see that, hallelujah. Listen, there's a lot of false fire. There's a lot of churches with all the smoke coming in and the fog and the lights. Let's dim the lights. Let's put the candles up. Anything to draw in, we got to draw in the youth. What about the Holy Ghost? It's got to be about the Holy Ghost that draws on. Hallelujah. The world has their own gimmicks. The church don't need to uphold those. Bible says, preach me and him crucified. Hallelujah. Then he said, I will draw all men unto myself. Hallelujah. Saints, this is the time that the church needs to wake up. It's time for us to wake up from our sleep and slumber. It's time that we would see the signs. Hallelujah. Does God want to bless you? Yes, he does. Does God want to bless your children? Yes, he does. Does God want to bring more into the saving knowledge? Yes, he does. But we cannot turn to idols. We got to let those things go. We got to turn back to God. And we got to call sin like it is. Hallelujah. There's people in bondage in churches. Come in the same way. They leave the same way they came in. All bound up. Filled with demons. Oh, yes. You know, witches and warlocks come to church too. But God, hallelujah, hallelujah, the God that we serve, his proclamation upon us, his will for our life, we that have been sealed by the blood of the Lamb, hallelujah, we will not be shaken. Because we know whose God we serve. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a song that ministered to me as I was preparing this message. And I want to play this one song. And then I'll call the altar. You got to have an altar call, amen? Amen. For those who want to cry out. Yes. Those who need Jesus. But I'm praying for those who are listening right now on the internet. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, now is the time. If you've been playing with the things of the world, now's the time to let them go and turn to Jesus Christ. Now's the time to get right with God or get left behind. This is a time to turn. And if you're listening right now, we want to pray with you right now. We want to pray with you right now. This church will pray with you right now that you would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. So pray this prayer by faith. Now remember, the prayer don't save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that will save you. Prayer is just a tool that God uses on earth for a holy God to listen to a sinful man. Remember that. It's not a magic prayer. It's a heart that repents toward a holy God. He will listen to that cry. Hallelujah. And if that's you, pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God praise and glory in the house. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. The King is worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.